Hallmarkies podcast. Today, we are talking off-network, doing a little bonus episode, and we're focusing on the off-network movies from Netflix and Disney Plus this wonderful Christmas season. And today, we have some very special guests. First off, we have the lovely Jennifer.
Hello.
And then we have, of course, our fearless leader, Rachel.
Yay!
First off, I just want to ask you guys, these are like the first things we're covering on the podcast from Disney Plus. What do you guys think so far?
So I haven't watched as much as I'd like. I still haven't watched The Mandalorian. But I did watch Forky Ask a Question because I got to interview the composer and that was delightful. And then I watched the films that we're going to talk about. And so far, I'm pretty much blown away. I think it's great. I mean, I think that, just the amount of content. If anybody in the world ever complains about being bored, ever again, I can't tolerate it.
That's true. Up until this point, you could, but now. I could.
And with the package that has Hulu and ESPN Plus too, now I'm like, you have access to everything pretty much. It's crazy.
The scale has tipped. There's no, I mean, the amount of entertainment at almost every human being fingertips is mind-boggling. And I don't know, there's just so many classic films and shows and it's really amazing. I mean, just The Simpsons alone, that alone, you could spend weeks watching it. It's really, really incredible. I don't know. What do you think, Jennifer?
Oh, well, I feel like my childhood just kind of regurgitated and is now in digital format. And it's both the best thing ever and the worst, only because I don't have time to watch all of it. Like, I'm an actual failure at life if I watch everything that I want to watch on Disney Plus. So it's like this constant battle between needing to function as a human and so wanting to watch all of the things that are amazing and available. And yeah, also, I mean, it's only been a few days, obviously, but I'm already arguing with my kids about the winning qualities of Disney Plus over like YouTube. And I'm like, come on, you don't want to watch someone open a toy like DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale. Yeah. And I wrote someone on Facebook the other day, like, I'm just trying to convince them about how awesome it is. And it's not that they're not excited. Like, I am so excited. So, like, Sean was just playing through some of the intros the other day, and I'm all dancing in the kitchen and singing and very dramatic and, like, trying to win them over to the dark side of Disney Plus. So far, I'm not selling it hard enough, but they will come around.
That's awesome. That's great.
I'm spoiled. I mean, even in my – I'm not even that old, and I still remember when we had, like, 25 channels. It's like, wow, this is a lot. This is a lot of television.
Commercials, right? You can do stuff in between commercials. Yeah. A chore or something. No, you're just glued to the television forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why anybody ever watches commercials?
I know. These days, like, who watches commercials?
I have three young kids, and my youngest obviously doesn't care a whole lot about what we're watching, but whenever we go traveling, my older two are completely floored and confused by the concept of TV and commercials, and right. I can't play that thing that you want right now because it's not on. Well, just put it on Netflix. Well, I'm not going to connect Netflix to the TV right now, and they're just, their little minds explode. They don't get it. This on-demand culture is crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so now that we've had our little Disney Plus discussion, let's talk about the first Disney Plus original movie. I'm guessing it's the first one. And it is Christmas-themed, and it's called Noel, starring Anna Kendrick, Shirley MacLaine, Bill Hader, Billy Eichner, and Julie Hagerty. And the little synopsis is, Kris Kringle's daughter is full of Christmas spirit, but wishes she could do something important like her brother Nick, who will take over for their father this Christmas. When Nick is about to crumble like a gingerbread cookie from all the pressure, Noelle suggests that he takes a break and gets away. But when he doesn't return, Noelle must find her brother and bring him back in time to save Christmas. So, Jennifer, what did you think of this one?
I liked it overall. I feel like it has Anna Kendrick in it. I'm almost just predisposed to like it. I just really like her a lot. I think in general, I had my hopes a little too high, though. I feel like there are a bunch of different plot lines that didn't necessarily need to be there. And every once in a while, I'm like, wait, what is happening? What am I following right here? So it was a little overwhelming for me. Nothing too crazy to where I was super confused and didn't really know what I was watching. But of course, I thought Anna Kendrick was charming. I wish that Bill Hader had been utilized more. I think he can be really funny. And same with Shirley MacLaine, actually. She was, you know, definitely a presence. But have you seen Bewitched? Off topic. Nicole Kidman and she's so funny. Oh, yeah, of course. Who am I even talking to? Well, I'm so sorry. I feel like I should be booted from the show right now just for even asking that question. I apologize. How dare you? I grovel before you. It's unacceptable to me how many people haven't even heard of it. Don't even know it exists. So anyway, that's a soapbox. But overall, I thought it was pleasant, but just not as cute as I'd hoped it would be. Do I get my score now?
If you want to.
Okay, I just didn't know how we're gonna do that part. Sorry. So I don't now I feel bad. Now I feel weird going first.
Well, you're the guest, that's why I made you go first.
Okay, great, no pressure. So I gave it a 3 out of 5. And I feel bad. I feel badly about it. I really wanted to like it more than I did. And I didn't dislike it. I just didn't like it as much as I had hoped.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. I actually agree with you.
Oh, thank goodness.
I definitely had very high, like in our preview show, I think I gave it a diamond ring. I was very excited about it. And I wish that it had been funnier. It's not that it's not funny, but I wish it had been funnier. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed by the ending. I don't know how spoilery we want to be on this, but I just felt like it could have been more romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, for ending. Sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very romantic. And now this is the second movie that I've seen in a couple of weeks where it's built like a romantic comedy, and then it's not really a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And at least the male presence was actually there. True. Like a certain other movie. But I don't have a problem if a character ends up alone. That can be fine. I love Frozen and mm-hmm. Elsa ends up alone. I don't have a problem with that. But do have a problem with it if I feel like it's being built up as a romantic comedy and they end up alone, because I feel like sort of sometimes the message is, this is an empowering ending for our character. And if she had fallen in love, it wouldn't be as empowering, which mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. is false, because empowering women fall in love all the time. There's nothing wrong with things that are soft and intimate and feminine. And like, we don't have to pretend like those things aren't important and valuable.
And they're not mutually exclusive.
Yes. So that was a little disappointing. But I still went fresh on it. I'm not a terrible human. I went fresh on it. On Rotten Tomatoes, it was still funny enough and sweet enough. And I liked all of the puns. And I liked her saying, oh, my garden. That was funny.
Yeah.
Stuff like that was funny. I mean, it was a little bit confusing for me to write a review on it because I wasn't sure. Should I be reviewing this as a television movie or as a feature film?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Which is, they are different.
And yeah.
Don't judge them the same. I'm sorry. Don't. Mm-mm. And I don't know. I still don't know what the answer is.
You're going to have to make a new category.
Yeah. See, I would put it on the same level as Netflix, but I don't know what you consider Netflix.
I have the same struggle with Netflix. Yeah.
Because Netflix, it's not something that you'd see in a theater, but it's not made for TV. It's in between. Like,
yeah. It's a tricky thing. Some of them, like some of them on Netflix, you like certainly like something like Roma, you know, nominated for Oscars and things like that. It's a tricky thing. But anyway, I liked it enough. I loved it because I really wanted it. It was cute enough. What did you think, Amy?
I loved it.
Funny ditties.
I thought this was such a cute movie, and it reminded me a lot of like Christmas Chronicles from Netflix last year. I just think this is adorable, and other than the ending was really disappointing. I agree with you completely, Rachel, on the ending, because I was like, you just built up this entire like romantic relationship with there being tension between these two main characters, and then nothing. Like, there's a card. It's so upsetting. But other than that, I really liked it. I thought it was a really, really cute story, and I think that this is an awesome story, because like now little girls can be like, well, just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I can't be Santa Claus. Which I think is so cute, and I love the idea of that. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I gave it a 4.5.
And I do think, because what happened was it was originally going to be a feature film, and they brought it down. And I do think that I wish that they had used all that cast a little bit more, because I agree, I could have definitely used more of all of this great cast. I could have used more of all of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like they were built in such a way that made you feel like they were going to be on more equal footing than they were. And instead it was more like just here's a flash here and here's a flash there. I don't know. Yeah. I really wanted to see. I guess I just fell in love with Bill Hader from the deep fakes where his face changes into other celebrities. Oh, and then his little dad dance that's been popular lately on Facebook.
He had some funny lines, but I could have.
He was pretty serious most of the movie.
I did think that the whole sorry, make your bed more like text the text from Billy Eichner's character to the kids. Those were all pretty hilarious. I thought. Yeah. Sorry, next year.
Cole, you didn't floss. I'm like, what kid flosses every day? Like, come on.
That was funny. I love that. But yeah.
What'd you give it, Rachel? What's your ranking?
I also gave it 3 out of 5. And gave it a 6 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. So
nice.
It is fresh.
Okay. All
right. Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Well, moving on, we have our next Disney Plus movie, and that is Lady and the Tramp. And this is starring Tessa Thompson, Sam Elliott, Justin Theroux, Janelle Monáe, and Ken Jeong. I'm not going to read the synopsis because we all know the synopsis of Lady and the Tramp.
Wait, what's it about?
There's some dogs, I think, and then like some people.
Spaghetti.
Yeah. And well, basically this is a live action reimagining of the 1961, 65 animated movie from Disney. I didn't finish this one, so I'm gonna let you girls take care of reviewing this, because I only got like 30 minutes in.
Was that by choice? Wow.
I fell asleep, so.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie, everybody knows I'm not that big on these live action remakes. But I have to admit, I felt this was more palatable being on Disney Plus rather than in the theater where I have to see their obnoxious advertising all over the place about improvement on the original and blah, blah, blah. And I hate that stuff so much. I hate the Disney marketing for these almost more than I usually hate the movie. So that was a benefit, I guess. And I liked it. It was cute enough. It is exactly the same movie as the original. I mean, there's almost no changes. They made Jock's a girl. That's like really the only difference. And they give like a little more dialogue to Tramp and Lady when they're about to spend their night, their romantic night, whatever, together. And I'm like, I don't really need that. I didn't need to know more. I just needed to see how they had their pizza and then they're on the hill. And that's all I need. I don't need. And then I also, obviously the biggest change is the change to the Siamese cats, which is fine. They were horrible. I mean, cats were the worst, but they don't have the racially insensitive part that in the old one, I guess. I don't know. It was fine. It was probably my favorite of these live action remakes for the year. That says something.
That's good.
What do you think, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Well, I really overall I loved it. I was very surprised. I've not been a huge fan of the live action remakes at all either. I keep every announcement they make, I'm like, really? And then I feel like a monster because I don't feel like it's possible to please me. Because on the one hand, if they change it, I get super irritated. Yeah. And on the other hand, if they don't change it, I'm like, why aren't you doing something?
I know. It's tough. It really is. It's tough.
I mean, I want to feel bad for them, but they're swimming in money, so I really don't feel that bad for them. Basically, they're Scrooge McDuck. I bet they all have vaults that they swim in nightly.
I mean, I also felt less bad about this because as far as it being a soulless remake is, I do feel like a lot of people haven't seen the original Lady and the Tramp, and I feel like it's kind of underrated in Disney films.
Yeah, for sure.
And so
I named my dog as a child after Lady from Lady and the Tramp, okay? It was not underrated for me.
Well, I love the original, and I really did. I don't feel like, personally, I didn't feel like this one was soulless. I felt like I loved the setting they did. I don't know if the original one was in New Orleans. I don't remember that, but I feel like this one had a vibe to it that was really fun. The architecture was beautiful. It was very detailed. I really, really liked that. And then I felt not like they changed a lot, but they tweaked things just enough that it irritated me. So I didn't care at all that Jax was a girl. That didn't bother me. I loved how her owner like painted her constantly. That was hilarious. But I didn't like Aunt Sarah came and they, Jim, Dear, and Darling like bait and switched her. And she thought she was coming to watch the baby, and they took the baby and
went
to watch Lady. That was super weird. I felt like Jim, Dear, and Darling were not as warm towards Lady prior to that event. And then all of a sudden she's missing and they come rescue her from the pound. And I'm like, who are you and why do you care about your dog?
What was also weird at the end that they were like, you're never coming back here, Aunt Sarah.
I know. And I'm like, she was in the wrong. She was a terrible person, but they tricked her. You don't leave your dog with somebody who doesn't like dogs and then be mad that they didn't take good care of your dog.
Plus, it's like so obvious that all of that damage was caused by cats. I mean,
oh my gosh, the woman was an idiot. And I love her. I love that actress, but she was unbearable.
Yeah, she really was. And the rat in live action is something I never need to see again.
I still think the cartoon was scarier, but the rat was not super cool.
It's such a weird thing in the cartoon because the Siamese cats are definitely set up as the villains.
Yeah.
And then they sing their song and then you never see them again. The horse. It's so weird. And
that's true.
So the rat is the true villain
of the
film. And a couple of years ago there was all this thing about how they were gonna supposedly a live action Secret of Nim, and I'm like, this is proof And I knew it. We don't want a live action Secret of Nim. We don't want realistic looking rats. That's disgusting.
Oh yeah, no, please don't. Please.
Not in a baby's room.
No.
It's just
Yeah. But yeah. You're right. I mean, it really was a sweet little movie.
So I wish they'd kept some of that sentimentality. I feel like they lost a little bit of it. Like I said, I feel like they made Jim Deere and Darling a little bit too cold. And then I mean, I didn't like Aunt Sarah, but at the same time, everybody was wrong. It wasn't set up for success at all.
How do you think that they did the whole spaghetti scene?
Like, I was freaking out because I mean, it was the same tablecloth. Like my inner child was wigging out. I was so excited. It was so weird to have that same sort of emotional connection. Oh, and I love that they kept a lot of the original songs, like the actual songs, not just redid them, but like it sounded like the same recordings.
Yeah, they nailed He's a Tramp. That whole sequence was so good.
Are you serious? That's the one I hated.
That was a good one.
It wasn't the song though. It wasn't the same one from the cartoon.
Yeah, that's the song. He's a Tramp. He's a scoundrel.
Yeah, but she didn't sing it. Now I'm going to have to rewatch it because I promise you. Completely wrong.
But I'm watching it as I'm live tweeting, which also, I have to admit, made me enjoy it more. No. I could live tweet all of these live action remakes, I probably would enjoy them more.
You're going to be sitting in the theater.
I would. I think that's true. But anyway, I was live tweeting and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about the statement, but I feel like the dogs don't have the same chemistry as they did. Like, I don't even know.
Oh my goodness.
But it's true.
That's hysterical.
Okay.
All right. I'm out. This is
done. I'm tapping out. I'm leaving. Like, I can't do this.
But it was still really cute. And like I said, it's my favorite. I certainly liked it better than that Lion King. That's for sure. I'll tell you that right now.
I still haven't seen that.
And I wasn't a big fan of Aladdin. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. And then I actually gave a fresh score to Dumbo, which like nobody else liked, but I thought it was
I'm terrified to watch it. I can't do it.
I thought it was weird enough, and I saw it on just the right day where I needed just that movie. But so I don't know how that would hold up. But anyway, I do think the Lady and the Tramp remake is my favorite. Of the live.
So what is your ladies' rankings?
I haven't added the Rotten Tomatoes yet, but I think I will go fresh on it. I enjoyed it enough, and so I probably give it a 3.
Okay.
3 out of 5.
And I gave it a 4, and I probably would have given it even a little bit higher, even though those changes I didn't like that much. But honestly, the dog's faces moving freaked me out.
Yeah.
I was thinking a little bit more Homeward Bound. You know, like where they just filmed the dog.
And you're like hearing their inner monologue. You're not facing.
Yeah.
If you and again, like that, get ready for Lion King. Because it's way worse.
Wait, they moved their face. I didn't think they talked in Lion King.
Oh, they do.
Oh.
And they shouldn't have. Yeah, no, they talk and sing and dance. It's like realistic lines. And they're like dancing. And it was too much. I didn't like it. Okay. But anyway, yeah.
So I gave it a 4.
Okay.
So we'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Glamour Jewelry Box. And right now you can save $5 off your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com, use code Hallmarkies during checkout. And Jennifer, what this is, it's really cool. Every month you get a box in the mail that has a bracelet, a necklace, and a set of earrings. And they try to be kind of trendy, but not like super weird trendy. And just so you have something like different and fun to wear at a party or that kind of a thing, something to spice up your outfit. Is that the kind of thing that sounds kind of fun?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the website right now, actually, and they've got some really cute stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've seen some of the items, Amy.
Yes, I think they're gorgeous, and they are worthy of any ball or gala or jubilee that would be on Hallmark Channel. Gotta say.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we didn't have any. I guess there's a little bit maybe it's a girl. But yeah, and so you can save $5 off your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com. Use offer code Hallmark during checkout.
I'm on Netflix now. So
no more dog chemistry.
Yeah, no, I can't deal with that. Now we're talking about elephants though. So the next one is on Netflix. It's called Holiday in the Wild, starring Rob Lowe and Kristen Davis. And again, very bad summary on IMDb. I don't know what is up with IMDb right now, but it's literally a sentence. Jilted by her husband on the eve of embarking on an African safari, a woman travels to the continent alone where she meets an elephant conservationist. That is the whole synopsis.
Wow.
So one thing that's interesting about this movie is it is written by Tippi and Neil DeBrosky, who have written so many good Hallmark movies. And so when I saw that, I was like, this is why this movie's so good, is because he's got some good quality writing behind it. And I thought this was great. I loved it. I thought that it was refreshing to have in this African climate. All the elephant stuff was super cute. I liked that the romance was spread out over quite a long period of time. I thought they had really nice chemistry. Speaking of chemistry between Ronald and Kristen Davis, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I mean, my only real flaw with it is that it did not feel like a Christmas movie at all. And I don't know, that's my only major complaint. Other than that, I thought it was really sweet and really good little rom-com.
All right, what do you think about it, Jennifer?
I'm really confused about this one. Overall, like, the bad synopsis aside, if you just lay out all the content of the movie, it should be basically a home run for me. Mm-hmm. Elephants are my favorite animal. I love all the story. I love the stories where people who are completely unaware of the world around them get kind of a wake-up call and then start to give for the benefit of others. I love those sorts of turns and stories. Rob Lowe, I mean, why not? They were great. All the pieces were there, the little family things. I liked, like you said, Rachel, the romance stretched out. But something was just slightly off. I didn't like that girl they randomly threw in there from the group. It was like, why do we have to have this catty thing? Like, this is completely unnecessary and makes women look terrible, which, I mean, people are awful in general. But anyway, I just, something didn't land for me. There, all the pieces were there, but it just felt slightly off. So as far as, like, I try to kind of think about it for rewatchability, and I probably won't watch it again anytime soon. Maybe with my cousin who likes elephants.
I agree with both of you. I was really excited for this one, and it didn't work for me. Like, it was good, but again, there wasn't enough Christmas. And also about the girl that just kind of showed up, I was like, did they just want to try and add another romantic comedy? Like, check off the list. Like, that's what that seemed like to me. So it was good. It was cute, but I don't think this is it wasn't Christmas enough for me, but so what would you guys rank it? I personally gave it a 3.25.
Yeah. I'll give it a 3.75.
That is so very specific.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we watch so many Christmas movies that we have to start doing the point something something, otherwise it doesn't work anymore.
That's fair. I gave it a 2.5.
All right. Good.
2.5. Right. Here, I'll throw my point out there.
Okay. All right. Give that 0.5. It's a lot, you know?
2.5.
Alrighty. So let's get into our next one. And this one is called Santa Girl on Netflix. And it's our Barry Boswick, Jennifer Stone, and Devin Warkeiser. And this was a collaboration between the Shenandoah University Communications Department and Capital Arts Entertainment. So this was made by college students, which I think is really cool.
Like, everything, like the lighting, the costumes, the every part of it.
was done by college students, yeah. which is just amazing. And again, synopsis on IMDb, one sentence. Santa's daughter gets a chance to attend college for one semester in the real world before heading back to the North Pole to fulfill her duties under her father. So what did you ladies think of this lovely movie?
Well, I actually gave this, I'm the lone critic to give it a review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are you serious? The only person?
Really? And oh I, yes, currently, you should ask John to watch it. Or maybe you give it the negative, so don't ask him. But I gave it a fresh, because I just thought the energy of these students, maybe that's giving the people that made the movie too much credit versus the movie, but I just thought the energy of it was so infectious and so, just kind of remind you of just like the very foundation of what makes movie making and trying to put a story together that makes it exciting. And I thought there was a lot of that energy. I thought the script was pretty fun. It was cute. And I really liked her elf friend, the elf roommate. She was really cute.
Yes. I love Pep. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was really cute. I thought Barry Bostick was having a good time and fun. And so overall, I enjoyed it. And so, yeah, give it fresh. I'd probably give it just because it's so hard to compare, you know, something like Lady and the Tramp that's like super polished and, you know, well-made versus something like this that's a student, you know, it's really hard to compare things sometimes. But I don't know. I would give it like a 3.25.
Okay, very good. All right.
Because yeah, I thought it was cute.
Yeah, what did you think of it, Jennifer?
Well, I'm conflicted now because I'm like, do I wish that I'd known in advance it was a college film, or do I want to kind of view it in comparison with other Christmas films? Because I didn't know beforehand, and I felt like there was that, like, reality TV show feel. Like, it was just a little too real. There wasn't that extra polish. I don't know enough about the technology behind it all, but it's like something about the camera was more realistic than most movies, in a negative way.
That's totally fair.
But knowing that it was a student film, that really changes my perspective on the whole thing. And now I feel like I have to rethink it. But my initial reaction was I felt that kind of raw, like their energy, and it wasn't polished. Everything was just slightly raw. And that wasn't always bad, but I have like sympathy or empathy awkwardness. So like, if I feel like someone should feel uncomfortable or does, then I get really, really uncomfortable. So this movie was hard for me to watch because I just kept kind of feeling like they just felt a little out of their element, and so I was squirming like the whole time. But that's a personal problem, that's not their fault. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fresh story. I liked the ideas behind it, and then kind of the way that it all wrapped up. But in general, as a whole, and again compared to other Christmas movies, and not factoring in the college student factor, which really does change my perspective, I gave it a
I can understand that. I really can. What about you, Amy?
I've been waiting because as many people know, I am a college student. I'm a senior in college right now. I'm about to finish up this December, and I have been waiting for like Hallmark and other channels. They just don't make, like, it's like people under 25 aren't allowed to fall in love on these channels, basically. And so this movie, for one, I thought it was very realistic to what college is actually like these days. Like, it was very, I thought it was very realistic, more than like other college films. I see that it's like what they think college is like now, but it's not actually what college is like now. As well as, I love the cast. I mean, Jennifer Stone was on Wizard Waverly Place when I grew up. Devin Warkeiser was Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. So like, the cast was people I loved as a child. It was very accurate to a college depiction, I believe. And I really, really, really loved the story. And so regardless of the fact that it's not, you know, perfect or polished or whatever, I think they did an amazing, amazing job. And I'm really happy that this year, at least, they're finally starting to tap into the younger audience with Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. That makes me really happy because I feel like a lot of the Hallmark Channel movies, they're focusing on couples that are in their 30s. Yeah. And that's not something I can relate to. So this just makes me super, super happy. And it's one of my favorites this year. And I actually gave it a 4.5.
Ooh. All right. Very good.
I like all your points. I think I agree. Although I did, this movie made me feel like I was an old fogey because there was a very escalated romantic section. And I was like, you are 10. What are you doing? You're 10 years old. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's crazy to me. The last time that I was in college was getting my master's degree. I finished in 2008. So I'm just the oldest person in the world.
No. I think I was like 11 in 2008. So like,
oh my goodness.
Like I was watching, when I was that age, I was watching Jennifer Stone on Wizards of Waverly Place and Devin Warkeiser on Ned's The Classified. Like that's when, like, yeah. But yeah,
that's funny.
I really like what you said about the more realistic nature of college.
Yeah.
It wasn't at all like the, we're going to party and sleep with everybody and, it wasn't that kind of vibe that seems to follow all the college age films. That's very refreshing.
I go to class in my pajamas sometimes. I'm tired. Like, I do my schoolwork and I go home. Like, I don't want to do all those things they portray on, like, TV and stuff. It's like, yeah, you hang out with your friends, but it's not like every night you're going out partying and dating everybody and all this stuff. This is a lot more realistic, I feel like. And, yeah. And I think that's just because it was made by college students. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. So, very good. Also, I just want a side note. I tweeted about it and Jennifer Stone retweeted it. And I like sent it to all my friends that Jennifer Stone retweeted me. And like, everyone was like, oh, Harper from Mrs. Waverly Place retweeted you. And like my friends were so excited for me. Anyways.
Awesome. That is fantastic.
So, all right. Next one on Netflix is Let It Snow. And there's quite a list of who's starring here. So I'm sorry if I butcher any of the names. But Kiernan Shipka, Sean McMore, Mitchell Hope, Anna Akanya, Odia Rush, Isabella Moner, and Joan Cusack. I know that one. And again, very small synopsis. This one's two sentences. A snowstorm hits a small Midwestern town on Christmas Eve, bringing together a group of high school students. They soon find their friendships and love lives colliding, and on Christmas morning, nothing will be the same. And this, of course, is based on the book called Let It Snow by John Green, Maureen Johnson, and Lauren Miracle. So what do you ladies think?
Well, now, Amy, when she saw this, she tweeted out or said in the group chat, I can't remember, she said, Rachel's going to hate this.
And see, I saw this movie in August because I saw it like as a Netflix test screening thing.
Oh, wow.
And so like, I wasn't allowed to tell her what movie it was, but I just like, I was in the group chat and I was like, I just saw a Christmas movie coming out this year and Rachel's going to hate it.
But I just want to be clear that I have no ill feelings towards teenagers in real life. They're a part of my life. But teenagers in films often are very difficult for me to tolerate, partly because it brings back bad memories of when I was a horrible teenager.
I just
find them so insufferable and so like selfish and so concerned only with their own life, and that's true and accurate, and so that's not fair of mine. I get it. But I don't know. I really struggled with movies like Edge of 17, and everyone else thought that movie was brilliant. And I was just like, this person so much. She's the worst. She's so selfish. And she's so, and I know that that's accurate, but I guess like the thing is that yes, that might be accurate, but I don't want to spend 2 hours in that accuracy. Like it's a struggle. Like the teen movies that I tend to really love are movies like Perks of Being a Wallflower is one of my all-time favorites. And to me, that movie is so like gentle and sweet and profound and thoughtful and with people that I like. And most of these most of these ones with these just these teenagers that are just selfish and horrible, I just struggle with. I'm not a fan of things like, I famously didn't like Fault in Our Stars on my blog.
What?
I hated it, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I didn't care for it. And I don't know, I just deal with that character well. So I this one wasn't for me. I just found all the characters insufferable and selfish and annoying, and even Joan Cusack wasn't able to save it for me, and she's and yeah, I didn't like any of the coupling. Jennifer.
Okay, well, as entertained as I am by your perspective, I'm gonna have to say that I disagree. I agree with feeling like a teenager and not wanting to go back there. I totally relate to that. But I felt overall like this cast was pretty charming. Mm-hmm. It took me forever to figure out that was Dora. I know her. What is she from?
Yeah.
I felt like it was almost like a teenage Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
That was that kind of vibe. I didn't like all storylines. I felt like the guy, what's the guy's name from Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I feel like he just got shoved in there and kind of abandoned. Like he was kind of this catalyst that brought everybody together, but as a character himself, he went nowhere. And that made me sad because I think he's very funny. But everyone else, I felt like I was interested in their stories. I understood where they were coming from. Certainly there was selfishness, but again, it's just life in general, but definitely that age. And I loved Joan Cusack, and I loved how she was like, you don't get in a car with strangers. Like,
she was the best part by far of the movie.
She slayed me. She was so funny.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that she's out there somewhere driving a tow truck wearing aluminum foil, because that would make life better as a whole if that was a reality. So it was pleasant. I enjoyed it. It's not something I'm probably going to pull out, you know, at random and watch again. But I enjoyed it for sure.
All right. So I'm going to disagree. I'm, you know, only 3 years removed from being a teenager. I'm 22. So I relate. I'm still, you know, in that tail end of being an irritating teenager age. And I'm sure everyone on the podcast knows that. But I love this movie so much. It's one of my, I think it's my number two of all Christmas this year. I mean, it has the guy from Spider-Man. It has the guy from Descendants. It has the girl from the new Sabrina, even though I don't watch that show, but I still think she's cool. You know, it has so many cast members that are people that were either on Disney Channel when I was younger, or like people like that are my age, because most of these actors are actually in their early 20s. They're not actually teenagers.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was so realistic and relatable. And also, I love the book. So it was, I think it was close to the book pretty much. And I liked the music. And the only part that did bug me was Joan Cusack. So.
It's an age thing.
Yeah, my mom is here in the background and she's all like, yeah, it's an age thing. Because she went to the screening with me, my mom, and she was like, eh. Like, she wouldn't watch it again. I would watch it many times. Yeah, I loved this immensely. And I gave it a 4.75 out of 5 because I loved it so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you give your rating, Rachel?
What's that?
Did you already give your rating?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I admit that this movie is not made for me. It's just not made. And that's fine.
I think that's abundantly clear.
Yeah.
by your diatribe.
And Kiernan Shipka, she was on Mad Men. And mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I hated her character so much on Mad Men. But
was she the daughter?
Yes. And I struggled. But I'd give it, it's so hard when you know something's just not made for you. How do you grade it effectively? I do think it's pretty well acted. Joan Cusack is a delight. I give it a I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay. My mom just said you're generous right now.
Yes, high five to Amy's mom.
Well, I guess I'll be delusional then because I gave it a 3.
Okay, good.
Middle of the road. That's good. That's good. Me, it's like my number. It's almost my number one. Like the only thing that I think I have better than it right now is the Christmas movie Christmas. So,
I still haven't watched that.
Oh, Jennifer.
I know. So good. I'm the worst.
I'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast and thank our second sponsor today. We are so delighted to work with everybody at Skylight Frame. And this is a really cool company. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark, not Hallmarkies, Hallmark, and you'll get the $10 off. And that's at Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. And we've seen tons of different digital frames over the years. But what's really cool about this one is that people can email photos and upload photos directly to the frame. And so you could just be watching your frame and surprise a new photo from somebody in your family that has the email could just pop up, which would be such a fun way to sort of share memories. And it looks, it's not like big and thick like some of these digital frames. Like it looks just like a normal frame, which is really nice. It's got a white mat. It's got a black frame. And I just think it would be such a fun gift. And is this, Jennifer, you have a bunch of kids. Do you think this would be a fun gift to have from them?
Definitely. Yeah, this actually inspired us to get one for my grandparents. And they live near us, but, you know, with everything being digital, they don't get those hard copy photos anymore. And so we actually went in on one last Christmas for them. And my aunt, my brother and his wife, and then my family, we all send pictures to their frame all the time, and they just love it because they feel more connected. They feel like they can see the events that we're doing. It's just such a neat idea.
Yeah, and it's just, it's easier for people that aren't just glued to their phone like I am 24/7, that you take all these pictures and you can have them displayed for everybody to see, which is really nice. So you can get $10 off your purchase of Skylight Frame. Go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark, and that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, enter code Hallmark.
All right. Okay. Last one of this episode from Netflix. This is something that came out today on Netflix. So this is called Claws, and it's starring Rashida Jones, Joan Cusack, J.K. Simmons, and Jason Schwartzman. And this one has a real synopsis. What a concept, guys. When Jesper distinguishes himself When Jesper distinguishes himself as the Postal Academy's worst student, he is stationed on a frozen island above the Arctic Circle, where the feuding locals hardly exchange words, let alone letters. Jesper is about to give up when he finds an ally in a local teacher, Alva, and discovers Claus, a mysterious carpenter who lives alone in a cabin full of handmade toys. These unlikely friends return laughter to Smearinsburg, forging a new legacy of generous neighbors, magical lore, and stockings hung by the chimney with care. Aw. So what'd y'all think?
So, things I like are beauty animation. I love it. Other things I like, Christmas movies about the origin of Santa. So this movie, unlike Let It Snow, was made for me. I loved this movie. Definitely one of my favorite movies I've seen all year. I absolutely loved the animation. I thought it was so beautiful. I loved the way that they use light and shadow to convey tone. That as the characters that were feuding were always almost in black and white. Like I thought it was so visually striking. And I it was actually a little bit different than I thought from the trailers. I thought that the character, I was expecting the character of the Claus character to be kind of like the Santa Claus character in Rise of the Guardians, which I love and I think way underrated. I was expecting that. Or maybe something more like in Christmas Chronicles. But he actually wasn't. He was very like wounded and conflicted and sad, and then but he's still making these toys and just the And then they start to teach the kids how to read. And I just thought it was such a beautiful, funny, well-voiced, well-animated movie. I loved it. I thought it was so good. And like the redemption of the characters. There's also nothing I love more than a lost causes redeemed Christmas movie kind of thing. Like people that you think they are just far gone. I thought that Jesper's character reminded me a lot of Cuco.
Yes.
New Groove.
Yeah.
I love that movie. And even Jason Schwartzman's voice to me sounded a little David Spade at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see it on the big screen so bad. I'm so bummed that I can't, because I would love to see that. And so this is my new favorite of Christmas. 2019. I loved it. I knew that I would. Oh. And so I love it.
Well, I don't know if it was your intention, but you totally faked me out. Like when you were like, well, the positives are, I was like, oh, I was expecting her to like this.
Yeah.
So you got me. I agree. My thoughts kind of in the beginning were definitely Christmas, Emperor's New Groove. Very heavy notes. And I'm kind of thinking that if it's popular as I think it's going to be, maybe you'll get to see it on the big screen next year. That seems like one that they'll bring out and do screenings for. I'm going to be completely honest. I fell asleep a couple times, but that's because I have three kids and I was super tired and we were snuggling and it just happened. But I thought the movie was charming. Overall, I like the redemption story a ton. I'm actually really glad you noticed. I didn't recognize the color changes as what they were. I appreciated them, but didn't quite put my finger on that's what it was. But especially thinking back to the end of the movie when there were still some characters pretty hardcore in black and white. That's awesome. But my kids, like I said, watched it with me. And there's part where the town started kind of being rejuvenated and everybody was on the upswing a little bit. Like it hadn't fully recovered, but they were just getting more inspired and filled with hope. And my daughter just looked at me and goes, they're making their town beautiful again. And I was like, oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
So I really want to watch it again because I know there's some things that I missed just from my brief snoozes. But overall, I liked the depth of the characters that were presented. I liked the animation. I really appreciate the colors more in retrospect than I did at the time even. And I really liked the guy.
Yeah, he was so good.
I want to give him a hug.
Yes, he was so good. And just anytime you can involve like people writing letters and that's another thing that I love is people writing letters. So it was all the things that I love, and I loved the I forget her name. It was Alpha or something. Alva.
Yeah,
she was hilarious. Or like those fish. Like,
oh my! Honestly, if the movie thematically had stayed where it started, I would not have made it. Like I that was not my tone for movies. I was like, I don't know about this, but it came out of it.
Came out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was funny, but I mean, if we're talking about it. Again, this is kind of difficult because I feel like I'm comparing a feature film to TV movies. And normally in my scale, I give something that I like this much a perfect score, even though technically, like, I'm not going to give it a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes, but because it's just different. I'm sorry, it is. But I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And so, you know, by our judging what we compare on this podcast, I would give it 5 stars.
If I probably
when I write up my actual official review, I'll probably give it a 9 out of 10, because yeah, technically it's not perfect. There were a few little pacing problems, and I do agree maybe they stretched out sort of the bitter part a little bit too long. But I just was so dazzled by the animation. It was so beautiful. I loved the voice acting. I loved the message, and I'm just so excited because it feels so unique. And we never get movies like this and on this kind of scale anymore. And so anyway, that's what I'll probably give it on Rotten Tomatoes, 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, don't hate me. but I'm not, okay, I like animation. Not that much. and it was cute, and it was a cute story, and I think my nephews would like to watch it, but personally, I was trying to stay awake the entire time, and I cannot get into animation stuff at my, I just can't, right, it's not Frozen, it was
Any age can, because animation is just a way of telling stories.
Yeah,
it's not for children. It's for anybody. But if you felt like this one dragged, that's fine.
It just wasn't for me. There's very few animation stuff that I will willingly watch. It was good. Like, don't get me wrong, it was a good story. So I gave it a 3. It's just, I probably wouldn't watch it again unless I was watching it with like my nephews or maybe my little brother or something, but I wouldn't watch it again on my own. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't feel like this was particularly kid friendly. I felt like it kind of reminded me of Tim Burton's Corpse Bride a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never seen that, so I don't know, but.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about the way they, because those creepy kids with the snowman and the carrots, I was like, I don't know about this. This is not something I enjoy. Creepy children do not make me happy.
Well, and it deals with some weighty themes, I think.
Sure.
And everybody likes different things, so that's fine. There we go. I guess we finished, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't rank that one.
Oh, yes. What is your rating, Jennifer?
Well, so I feel a little bad because I fell asleep, so I'm not entirely sure. But based on what I saw, I gave it a 4. I'm expecting I'll probably give it a 4.5 just because it is something that my kids are going to watch with me. They seem to really enjoy it and get the right notes out of it.
Rachel, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Rachel Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check it out.
And then you can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig. And of course, you can find the podcast everywhere at Hallmarkies Podcast or at Hallmarkies Pod. If you're listening to this, make sure to rate us on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And if you're watching this on YouTube, can you make sure to subscribe and like this video. And if you're interested, for just $2 a month or more, you can subscribe to our Patreon. And that really helps us out. So thank you so much. And thank you guys for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys.